Shun the Sun.
Hey everyone, it's David and Dylan here from WeShunTheSun.com with our weekly podcast about video games and video game related things, which is generally about video games. So, what are we talking about this week?
Video games.
Okay.
Alright. Firstly on our list, pretty recent news, but there was a bit of the controversy about the Titanfall preload. Now, Vince Zampella came out saying that you would be able to pre-order and preload via Xbox One, and Microsoft came out saying no.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And then they sort of had to backpedal, yeah.
That's right. So, obviously, quite a few people, you know, they're the COD-heavy sort of audience. They really want to be ready to go at 12:01. And yeah. Unfortunately, being having to download, I think it's 28 gig, I think, so far, is the size. You're not going to be playing at 12:01 if you can only start downloading at 12 o'clock.
So, does this mean you would be better served, you know, being one of those people who is lining up at 12:01 in the store if there's a
there's a midnight launch, definitely.
Yeah, if there's a midnight launch.
Yeah, if there's a midnight launch, which I'm sure plenty of places will, because of how big a game it ends up being, then yeah, definitely I'd say you will be up and running faster with the disc. I mean, you're probably still going to have to install it, but that's going to be quicker than a download and install.
Definitely. Well, yeah, especially in Australia, and probably anywhere really for 28 gig.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's one of those things about, you know, digital downloads. In theory, they always sound like they're a much more immediate way to get the game, but it's not really the case.
That's right.
At least not here.
And I mean, with the games taking up more and more space on the hard drive as well, I mean, it is easier almost having a disc still. I mean, 500 gig in the end isn't that much when you've got games like NBA taking out 50 by itself.
Yeah, yeah, it's going to be worrying. I mean, you've got games, you know, doing 13 gig downloads just for updates.
That's right, yeah.
And that was a compulsory update, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting. I think a lot of people are going to have to expand their memory for their consoles.
That was that was obviously Dead Rising we're talking
about. Yeah, Dead Rising 3, that's right, yeah.
Yep. So it is a bit of a strange one why you can't actually preload, but I guess they assume if you can preload it, people will be more inclined to try and, I don't know, maybe get around the back end to play it earlier or something.
It's happened before. I feel like that's happened before.
Wouldn't surprise me.
So, yeah, there probably are some people out there who'd be exploiting that somehow. Maybe that's their mentality. It's hard to know, isn't it?
That's right. Moving on again, we move on to the Irrational Game Studio breakup.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
I think it's disappointing because the only two, well, they've made a few games actually, but obviously the two high-profile recent ones were the Bioshock games, and both of them were really impressive games.
That's right.
I think they did well both in terms of sales and in terms of review scores, which is not that common, that you know, it's loved by the masses and also loved by the critics.
Yeah, that's right.
But yeah.
It seems strange. I mean, I mentioned to you how Ken Levine has been tapped to write a couple movie scripts and move over into the movie business, so maybe he just wanted some more time on his hands and having this sort of studio. But like you said, it is quite painful that a studio who's done so well now will find themselves without jobs. I mean,
yeah,
it probably wouldn't be hard for them to move on, because, I mean, having worked on Bioshock Infinite on your resume looks pretty good.
Definitely. It sounds like they're trying to do the right thing by the workers to some level. I mean, I read that they're going to be holding some recruiting day at their office where they're inviting, like, all the different studios to come in and basically, you know, interview their staff who will be leaving. So,
but it does seem strange. They're sort of more interested now in the mobile sort of arcade space than these big-name, big-budget games that take almost 10 years to create.
Kind of indie style, I think, is what he was talking about. And it just seems weird, almost like it's on a whim, you know. Actually, I would like to make some smaller games. That's it. Fire 90 people. It just seems like it's a brutal decision, but there could, of course, be, you know, monetary reasons behind it that we don't really know about.
I suppose the development for so many years on Infinite would have cost a lot, but I mean, from what, it's sold and everything like that.
They would have recollected those costs many times over, you'd think.
Oh, you'd think so, that's for sure. Moving on, next is how Sony has announced that they expect the shortage of PS4s to continue. Do you think this is undersupplying to increase demand?
A lot of people talk about that in gaming. It could be, that's for sure.
Because, I mean, if your product is, it's the same sort of thing to me with, like, an iPhone. It seems like there's a real small run released early to almost create the demand so supply can eventually catch up to almost, you know, oh, I can't get a PS4. That's obviously going to be the better of the systems. I have to wait. Oh, God. Oh, there's a PS4 here. I can pick it up. You know, it'll make you rush out when there is something. Whereas if they're readily available, it can sort of be like, oh, okay, I'll get it when there's some decent games out. Whereas right now you're feeling, oh, I can't get one. I have to get one straight away, even though I've got nothing to play.
The fact that we see it keep happening means there must be, you know, facts out there proving that it does drive, you know, demand up.
Yeah, because I mean, with how long it's been now since release, it's been almost 4 months.
Yeah.
It's been near to 4 months now. If a factory is churning out PS4s, they should be able to meet demand by far.
The only thing I will say, is that for Australia specifically they were saying that?
That was worldwide.
That was worldwide, wow. Because, I mean, we would obviously get a relatively small allocation of consoles. Yep. But, I mean, even with that said, you do have to wonder whether it's still, you know, they're still in the early days. They still don't have that many games out. So maybe they are still thinking that, you know.
It might be best to make and not just sit on the shelves. It might be better to not have stores with just 10 PS4s sitting on a shelf, people thinking, oh, well, they're not selling or something like that.
And, you know, they always say we want what we can't have. Like, maybe
that's right.
Maybe people just think it must be amazing because they still
have no chance. I'm not going to lie. When I heard they were selling out, I went and bought one.
Yeah. So, clearly it does. I mean, that's firsthand.
Yeah, proof. That's right. But, I mean, I'm a freak and I admit that readily enough. I couldn't even afford both systems.
Not
but
just
I still
with games
them.
Either.
That's right. All right, moving on. Diddy Kong was announced as the newest playable member of Smash Brothers.
Yeah, and Little Mac also was recently, I think.
That's the Punch-Out guy.
Yeah,
the
Punch-Out guy. Yeah, he's in too.
Had that listed as well.
Yeah.
But Diddy Kong was the more sort of...
That was really recent, wasn't
jump
it?
Jump out to me. I mean, you know, Little Mac, it's easy enough. Just going to have some fighting moves. But, I mean, has Diddy Kong been in it before?
I think he might have, yeah. I think he was in Melee, maybe.
Yeah, because I'm trying to think about that as well, because I remember his guns, the handguns.
Yeah, I think he's back again.
Yeah, because he wasn't in Brawl, though, was he?
No, I think he was a character that no one really cared about. So I'm sure there's some hardcores out there ready to prove me wrong.
I still don't care about it. You may as well just have Pikachu and Captain Falcon, yeah. 1v1. That's all I'm going
to... Falcon Punch!
Or, you know, or for the people who like the old cheap math.
Yeah. Oh, it was... I think it was Meta Knight who was...
Yeah, that's right as
Meta
well.
Meta Knight,
basically
yeah.
couldn't kill him. He could jump infinitely.
Borderline invincible, the old Meta Knight. But yeah, I actually think Little Mac's a pretty cool pick.
Yeah, it's different. I like...
Yeah, I mean
better than
sense.
The Wii Fit Trainer.
Well, we'll see. Probably. I think that's an amusing choice, but Little Mac seems really sensible and he looks pretty cool. He, by the way, emphasis on little. He's tiny. I didn't realise how small he was until I saw him in a screenshot.
What I also think is that there's clones of characters. You should just have them as skins. Like, don't have Fox and Falco and things like that. Have Fox and you can press down and it becomes Falco or something like that. Don't count him as 25 players when really he's the exact same with a different skin.
If they at least change their special moves or something, I'd be a bit happier, but then it's not really...
They're identical.
Oh, they're close. I mean, you know, it'll be like, oh, one of them shoots quicker, but one of them shoots slower, but does more damage. But that's such a minor change.
Look at what was it, Ganondorf. It was basically identical to Captain Falcon.
It's slower and a little bit more powerful. Yeah, it's not really enough. Yeah. I mean, you look at them as well. I mean, Ganondorf's such a different character. There's real potential to have him use his sword and things like that.
He's pretty much almost got magic in the Zelda
series.
So where's his magic in the game?
Yeah, you could have him doing some really cool moves. So
yeah, hopefully we see a bit of change there rather than some more just skinning, because it's 24 characters have announced so far.
I'm looking forward to that game though. I mean,
hopefully it's
that's
really
the
good.
Only good thing about Smash Brothers. It's kind of like each generation only gets one, so it's always, you know, a lot of years in between.
Yeah, we hope so.
Specifically, we're looking forward to the 3DS version, I should point out.
Exactly. Yeah. Basically anything that's going to... I mean, we're not going to get a Wii U. I mean...
Unless something miraculous happens.
Unless it comes with... unless they release a bundle where it comes with the only 5 games worth purchasing for $200 or something.
Yeah, we'd buy that. You listening, Nintendo?
Exactly. It just doesn't seem like there's any value in... I mean, get rid of the bloody screen.
And no, when you're hearing developers come out saying that, you know, they're pretty much not going to be supporting it anymore, that's a really troubling sign.
Exactly. Next item is... There is a new Tony Hawk's in the work.
Yeah, I read this.
Now...
Are they relevant anymore? Is that what you're basically thinking?
Pretty much. Like, does anyone care about a Tony Hawk? Is it going to basically just try and be Skate? I mean, where's my Skate 4? Skate 3 was the last one, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. We would love Skate 4.
Especially on the next gen with some of the ridiculous graphics and bone-breaking things you could do now.
I mean, if I had to pick some of my favourite games of last generation, Skate would definitely be on there.
Oh, yeah,
it's probably a dark horse for most people. For those who played it, they were awesome. They were just...
It was a very good game.
Just brilliant. And I mean, it does feel, in a lot of ways...
It was a game that rewarded you for your practice rather than unlocking moves as you went on. You could do everything the second you started.
And it had that semblance of realism that...
Yeah,
Look, don't get me wrong. Like, I wish I could do the tricks I did in real life that I did in Skate. But you still couldn't keep an infinite line going on forever.
Yeah, that's correct.
And the physics were very solid, actually, in Skate.
If they brought death into the game would only last maybe 5 minutes.
It wouldn't last very long, no.
For each person, but
yeah, they still can't simulate ballsiness. Like, no one would do the things that I made my character do.
That's right.
But you know, in many ways, you do wonder whether Tony Hawk's really relevant anymore. It's really interesting because in a post I read on this news, I saw some people saying, oh, look, I really hope they bring back the traditional Tony Hawk gameplay. And I saw other people saying, no, please don't do that. Instead, exactly try right. and do what Skate's doing.
And the traditional Tony Hawk's gameplay stopped because everyone just got bored of, all right, yeah. A to Ollie, hold C left or something. Well,
they all felt the same, yeah.
That's exactly right.
They were cool, like, they were arcadey in their time, but I just think that Skate's completely blown it away. I'd really like to see them try a Skate angle. They might be able to do it really well. You know
what I think we need? We need a skateboard controller.
Tony Hawk ride.
That's right.
And one last final thing I was just going to say, this would be the time for them to try it, because we don't know if a Skate 4 is in existence.
That's right.
So if they want to try and steal the market for next gen, they should be trying to get something out. They should be
pushing it out soon.
Yeah, as soon as they can.
That's right. All right, next item on the list I had here was Borderlands 2 for Vita will be released not too far from now.
That's strange, isn't it?
It's not being made by Gearbox.
Okay.
It has been outsourced.
But it's just a port.
It is a port.
Surely they can't get it that wrong.
You wouldn't think so, but and also yeah, the it was a long rumored BioShock for Vita coming out, whereas yeah. now apparently it has been cancelled.
Yeah. I'm really surprised they're actually going with Borderlands 2. I mean, I think a lot of people really like it. Well, the Vita owners anyway. I don't know if there's a lot yeah, out that's there. Right. That's the problem. And that's the thing that's probably stopping a lot of people from really bothering to port their games or create new games for it. I think the console itself has a lot of potential. It's quite powerful. It's got a really nice screen.
And you know there's something wrong when there's probably more Wii U players out there than Vita players.
Maybe. But yeah, it does seem like a lot of people would prefer to program for the 3DS for obvious reasons. There's just so many more people out there that own it.
I mean, it's simple as like playing a game like a Game Dev Tycoon or whatever. When you see the market share is at 50% on the PC and on the for example, the Vita says 10, why would you make it for the 10?
Yeah, exactly. It's tough to justify.
That's exactly right. I mean, if it's going to cost you more money as well to, you know, get them tools, hire a team if you can't do it, I don't see the point.
On the other hand, maybe the port is relatively cheap to do. They've already got the game made. Maybe if they can do it relatively cheap, then it probably does make sense. So
that's right. I mean, and maybe they can. It could almost be almost Sony funding it, hoping to get more people on board.
Yeah, they might be backing it in some way. Yeah, it's possible.
All right, moving on. Arkham Origins Blackgate is coming to consoles.
Really?
Yes. Now, a game that failed to do well on 3DS and Vita,
so that
with mediocre reviews, is now being ported onto consoles.
That's very unusual. Is it coming to like Xbox Live Arcade, or is that going to be a standalone release?
I'm not 100% sure of the details, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be disc-based.
That's baffling. Unless they're looking to improve it dramatically, but probably not. That's really weird.
Maybe they thought they were onto something and their market share audience was too small. Who knows?
We really wanted that to be good, by the way.
We were hoping.
It just didn't end up being the game that we're wanting it to be. And from memory, they had a lot of really cool people working on it, like, you know, people who'd worked on Metroid games, etc. So it had a lot of experience behind it. Yeah. A lot of people were expecting big things, but just didn't deliver.
All right, now, next little status here I've got here is the updated WoW models have started rolling out. The female orc and the dwarf.
Oh, really?
And the dwarf female have been rolled out for new custom models. So now, well, not sorry, custom, but the new redone models with upgraded visual textures.
That's bizarre. So does that mean the people playing those exact characters will now look like much better than those around them?
I think it might be on the public test realm right now.
Right.
But I know, from what I read, it is being rolled out, and I think, yeah, you can go in, like, you know how you can go to the haircut place and get your thing changed. I think you can go and pretty much reskin your character.
Wow. I mean, it's not like a huge game-breaking deal. No. Just it does break a bit of consistency, though, when you see certain characters walking around looking like really high-res.
Yeah,
and then you've
right.
got your character looking old as crap. Yeah, it's a little bit strange. I would have thought they'd just want to roll it all out in one go, but who knows? Exactly. Blizzard can do what they want. They're powerful enough to do what they want.
That's exactly. And on the same subject, they've announced that it is going to be $60 US to get a level 90.
So you can just buy one now?
Yes, you can.
Really?
$60 for a level 90. So I think you make a character a level 1, then pay for the level 90.
That's really funny, because it's basically like they're trying to stop the, you know, that kind of like black market where you can pay people to level your characters, you can pay for gold and things like that.
That's right. It's like, why should we let someone...
Exactly. Why should we let someone in China do it when we could be doing it?
Exactly. Why let someone in China do it when we can just tick a button and get $60 for it?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, my warlock is no longer viable at level 90. Mages are everywhere. All right, well, here's $60. I've got a mage or something like that.
It's pretty crazy. I just wonder, would Blizzard ever get to the point where they're offering, you know, the ability to buy gold direct from them? You've got to wonder.
Wouldn't surprise me.
I mean,
they might have two forms of currency.
Exactly.
Your gold, which you earn in game, or your justice points, which you now buy, or something like that.
Yeah. Especially the case if it ever goes free to play. I'm not saying it will, and if it does, it will be a long way away. And
you know, everyone was expecting an announcement along that line at BlizzCon.
I wasn't, because when I ran the numbers in my head, I'm like, right, they're not going to do that. Why would you? You've got 9 million or whatever players still, and more than that actually,
yeah,
isn't
it? Yeah, it's funny, because the subscribers have actually gone up. It was like 7.2 million. Gone back up to 7.5 or something.
You don't just willingly let go of 7 million times $15 a month.
Exactly.
You just don't. Not unless there's a heavy, heavy, heavy decline happening.
And I mean... there's no point doing it when you own the market as
That's true.
It's like, what's really contending with it? I mean, we started playing Old Republic again recently because it is free.
It's also a bit like a reskinned WoW, to be honest.
Yeah, but, yeah, of course. Every MMO pretty much is.
Yeah, true. It's fun for what it is, but I mean, it's not in competition with WoW in terms of player numbers, not even remotely.
Oh, no. I mean, it's gone from having two people online to about 100 or so. So, I mean, it has definitely improved. And I guarantee they're making more money now. That's for sure.
Yeah, totally.
But, yeah, it just seems like when you do have that cornerstone of the market, I mean, you got Elder Scrolls Online coming out, which so far has failed to really impress me. But, I mean, I'm only seeing early footage.
Yeah, we'll have to see what... You know, I was thinking about that game as well. I feel like playing as a spellcaster, as much as I generally don't do that, it's probably the way to go in terms of the combat. Just wailing on something with an axe that doesn't respond doesn't really click so well with me, but blasting away with spells from a distance, you probably don't feel that same frustration.
But again, I'd say they'll probably be fixing that.
Hopefully. You know, another MMO I never really gave a chance that I've heard a lot of good things about is that Lord of the Rings Online.
Yeah, that's actually quite a
bit of following. It's got quite a following, yeah, it does. That's free to play as well, so one day I might check it out. I've heard really good things, actually.
One day when we finish our story classes in Old Republic,
then we move on to the next free to play.
That's exactly right. But either way, I mean, it got us playing it again.
Exactly.
So
we haven't paid them a cent though, so they probably wouldn't be happy with it.
Well, we're still preferred status. We gave them $100 for the game.
That is true. Yeah.
So we've given them a lot more than some other people have.
But I still think they wouldn't say no to more money from us.
What company's going to say no to money?
Sorry, BioWare. Maybe one day.
I'm not sorry. Next on the list, I've just got the latest Xbox update was rolled out, and there is another large update coming shortly for the Xbox. Now, the recent update obviously just made a few changes, allowed you to manage your games, see how much storage had been taken up, all things that should have been included already.
Definitely.
Already. You can delete content, which is good, because I was able to do that for things like the Titanfall beta, which is now over. I can remove that 5 GB I downloaded, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Also, as well, shows you how much battery you've got left.
That's a nice feature.
Whereas, apparently, the large update is coming just prior to Titanfall's release, so it will be redefining all these social aspects to make it a lot more easier, which just seems so strange when, I mean, even on release of the Xbox Live pretty much was ready to go and all the features were fine. I mean, it was the old Blade system compared to what it is now, but it still worked.
When you say social functions, I heard there were issues like with people being in groups, sort of. Is that...
Like, when you start a group with someone, you have to enable chat on both ends before it works, rather than just inviting to a party and talking. You have to make sure everyone's enabled, and if it isn't done right, it's a bit glitchy, you won't hear them, things like
that. And that's not a one-off setup. You need to do that every time. Gee, that's crazy, isn't it? You just wonder how things like that slip through the net.
Yeah, it's very strange. I mean, there's another very large PS4 update coming shortly as well. I'm not too sure what's involved with that, because honestly... I don't play my PS4 too much, but come Infamous release, I'm sure I'll be playing it quite a bit.
That's not that far away, is it?
No, it's mid-March, I think.
Mid-March-ish, yeah.
There's a lot of games coming out quite soon.
Yeah, it's true.
And the last little topic I've got on my list is Ground Zeroes.
Yeah.
Now, you know a lot more about this than me, as you told me this morning about its length. I'd like to hear you explain it.
Yeah, so as a lot of people are probably aware, basically, there's a Metal Gear Solid. It's kind of like a mini little portion of the game coming in the pretty near future. That's called Metal Gear Solid Ground Zeroes, and that's kind of like your prelude to Metal Gear Solid 5. Metal Gear Solid 5 is going to be the long game. That's going to be a full game.
The Phantom Pain?
Yeah, The Phantom Pain. That's it. That's the full title. But Ground Zeroes is kind of like your little taste of what to expect from the next-gen gameplay. And the problem there is that the developers have been very forthright in saying that it's about a two-hour-long game. Their own internal playtesters have managed to complete it in about 5 minutes. When you know what to do, that apparently is possible. And yet, they are charging and this is what I've read, they're charging $50, I think Australian, for current gen format, as in Xbox 360, PS3, that's for Ground Zeroes, or it's $89.95 for the next gen versions of Metal Gear Solid Ground Zeroes, and that is a pay.
That's a full price game.
That is a lot to pay for 2 hours of gameplay.
Especially when it's possible to complete it in 5 minutes.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, they talk about the fact that you can potentially complete it in different ways, but I just don't like when you have to go down that line to try and make it sound like there's value there.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, and is that mission going to be in Phantom Pain?
I don't think so. No, I don't think so, because he did talk about how if people have completed Ground Zeroes, then there will be slight advantages they get in the Phantom Pain. So
it just seems so strange.
The pricing is just crazy.
It is.
The pricing is crazy. And I mean, there's precedent for this. I think Gran Turismo 5 or 6.
Nearly all the Gran Turismos released this sort of early version with a couple of tracks and stuff.
And like they're expensive-ish. Not as expensive as this.
Yeah, no one knew that.
But they're still expensive for what you get. And I think it's just basically the developer's realization that, hang on, we're going to need more money like before we reach the end. So maybe it's like an effort to just bring in some money at the midway point. But the price point they've set is...
Or maybe just keep people interested. So they're like, oh, you know, I'm hearing the word Gran Turismo or Metal Gear a year before the next one's released. You know, it keeps me interested, keeps me going sort of thing.
I get that. But I feel like, I think it was Dead Rising 2 did it perfectly. They had Dead Rising 2 Case Zero. That came out before Dead Rising 2. It was like this little DLC. I think it cost like maybe around, I don't know, $8 or $10, something like that. And a lot of people got onto it. A lot of people played it. And it meant that, you know, a lot of people had a good idea of what to expect. And they went out and bought it when it came out. Because that is a very reasonable price point. And that was also, by the way, for about 2 hours of gameplay.
Yep.
And it just, you know, it just doesn't really compare. So I'll be really interested to see whether that price sticks. Whether they do bring it down before release, whether they come to their senses, because I just feel like that might open them up to a lot more criticism than praise.
Yep.
You know, irrespective of what's in Ground Zeroes, even if it's great gameplay, if you finish it in a very short amount of time and you spend a lot of money, you still may not feel too happy about it.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm dropping anything over like $40 and I can finish a game in like an hour or two at most, I mean, think about it. I paid $20 for the entire Walking Dead Season 2, whatever it is, and Season 1, and The Wolf Among Us.
Exactly.
And that's going to be almost 10 hours worth of gameplay. Fair enough, it's segregated, but $20, and I get almost 10 hours, and I'm getting quality for it, I know it. Whereas I'm paying almost quadruple that for only the equivalent of maybe one episode that can be finished quite quickly.
Yeah, I know, it seems really hard to justify. So, it's going to be really, really interesting to see what happens there.
Yeah, it's quite strange.
Yeah, Metal Gear Solid kind of do their own thing in general, but this one seems just a little far for my liking.
That's right. Now, that brings me to the end of my little list, so we'll go on to our next little segment we seem to have, where we just talk about what we've currently been playing. So far this week, I've picked up NBA 2K14 again.
Good.
As I stopped playing because I was getting quite upset because my player was unable to dunk, and I realized in the end it was my fault because I didn't actually give him any dunks. So I was getting quite upset about it, and I made a new player who was 7'1".
Nice.
Spent $20 in real life to make his stats nice and high, and then I realized I'd done something wrong, so I just abandoned him and deleted him. So 2K Games, enjoy my $20.
But they deserve it, don't they?
Of course they do. The game's brilliant.
Yeah, exactly.
I hate basketball, and I love the game.
And that says something, because I almost wonder whether that works in their favor, though, because we don't know what these players do in real life.
That's right.
I mean, we don't watch it. So we're not going to watch and be like, oh, you know, Russell Westbrook would never do that in real life. We've got no idea.
That's
so
right.
So it all seems kind of plausible to me. Whereas we're quite critical about FIFA games because we know about soccer.
I'm just waiting for them to introduce Space Jam mode.
Yeah, Space Jam would be really cool. And there's some pretty funny YouTube clips out there if you look up NBA 2K14 right. And Space Jam.
That's right. I mean, there was the rumor that Space Jam 2 was on its way. But unfortunately, LeBron's camp's come out saying that he's not involved with it.
Oh, really?
But Warner Brothers are not saying that the movie's not going ahead, so maybe they were just hoping LeBron was going to be involved with it.
Oh, that sucks. I thought it was confirmed.
Well, apparently the movie is, but the player's not.
Who else could it be, though?
Give me Durant.
He's I love Durant, but he seems a lot more serious. I don't know how much he'd like the Looney Tunes. He'd just kind of ignore them.
Maybe that's what the film needs.
Yeah, he might be the bad guy.
That's right.
What have I been playing this week? I've been playing a bit more of Deus Ex Human Revolution, the Game of the Year version, which is awesome. I love the original. I love Deus Ex 1 as well. But the Game of the Year version, I really recommend to anyone who, even the people who played the original, it's still worth playing through. The developer's commentary is really, really cool as well. If you've got any kind of interest in game design, they really are honest about the process, and they're very honest about their own shortfalls. They're actually probably a bit too brutal on themselves, really, because they made a good game, but you wouldn't always know it from the way they talk about it. So it's, yeah, really worth playing through. And it's got the DLC, which I never played in the first time around, so that's really cool as well.
I did buy it on the Steam sales, and yeah, I just haven't been able to download and get through it just yet.
You've got to do it. You've got to do it. Has there been anything else? I think that is pretty much it.
Yeah, so I mean, looking forward, in a few days, Thief is released. Now, I'm still on the fence with Thief.
Yeah.
I mean, I just watched a quick clip earlier, and it really turned me off from what I saw. I mean, running through direct... I mean, even when he's apparently in the pitch black, it still looks like he's almost standing in the light. It's still so bright. The game really seems like it's just been modernized from an almost action player's perspective. Whatever happened to the honest and God stealth game?
Yeah.
Games where the original Thief, I mean, even Chaos Theory and things like that, yeah, where you're actually required to be stealthily, whereas, I mean, Splinter Cell just turned into a game where you're basically standing in the middle of the desert in the daylight with a gun.
Yeah, which really hurt the series. I'd be really interested to see whether it actually sold that well, because there was a lot of negativity about the game. And look, maybe it is the case that there's a lot of casual gamers out there that bought it, and maybe it still did really well, and I'm just not aware of it. But I feel like it couldn't possibly have performed to their expectations.
Because the game was bad.
Because the game was bad, and because it kind of went against everything the series stood for.
That's exactly right.
So anyone who had liked it in the past and picked it up, I think the vast majority would have been disappointed.
Because, I mean, when you go from, you know, slinking in the shadows, shooting out lights, you know, tranquilizing enemies and things like that, to literally just running into a room with four people and pressing one button to auto-execute all of them in the middle of the day, yeah. It just sort of, there is a bit of a difference.
Yeah, it feels totally different. It's really interesting because I just went back to Chaos Theory the other day, and playing through the first level, despite the fact that the control setup's a little unusual now, like having jump on shift, interact button is spacebar. Despite that,
Xbox controller.
Yeah, maybe. But despite that, the game itself still feels really, really good, and it still looks quite good as well, which is surprising.
Well, I mean, when the game is primarily in the dark, really, your main source of graphics will be your lighting shaders.
The shaders are actually quite impressive. But I mean, you know, it's not a new game, but it still plays really well. And, you know, given since Chaos Theory's release, has there really been a better stealth game? I'm not sure there has.
Yeah, I mean,
it was one of the last really good stealth games.
What is really in the stealth genre nowadays? I mean, it's not like you call Assassin's Creed stealth.
No, I wouldn't call that stealth.
Metal Gear Solid, I guess, is supposed to be. I've never played it. It's got a kind of
warped version of stealth.
Yeah, so I mean, what is there?
Yeah, there's not a whole lot.
You have Thief, but honestly, Thief is not looking really like it's that much of a stealth game. I mean, fair enough, maybe Dishonored had a bit of stealth about it. I mean, that was quite a good game.
It's probably the closest you'll come in recent times. Yeah, but Dishonored was good. But it wasn't your pure, like, traditional sort of approach to stealth. Being able to teleport and things like that is...
Yeah, but I mean, when you consider back to, like, the original Thief, you were just walking around these old mansions where the only light was, like, a candle on the wall and things, whereas this one just seems to be... Even in the dark streets, there's still lights everywhere. And
I feel like the biggest difference is that in the original pure stealth games, you were heavily underpowered.
Oh, yeah. Whereas it seems like you got special powers where you can have a look at what's glowing and
it'll be
sneaking across the ground like little swoopy motions. Yeah, these weird
little mini teleports, Dishonored style. I mean, it'll be interesting to see how the combat in the new Thief is because...
Shouldn't really be combat.
No, it's meant to be more like you knock them out when their back's turned. That's otherwise, right. You're in massive trouble.
We'll see.
And yeah, we will see. Because in most modern stealth games, it's an option. Yep. But you can always just fall back to guns or fists or swords if you need to.
Yeah, the jury is heavily out for me.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. It's had a long development period, and I guess we'll know soon enough whether or not it paid off.
That's right. I guess before you hear from us next, we'll probably be able to tell you.
Yeah.
Not long after that, let's just talk about upcoming releases again. We've got Dark Souls 2 coming out, Titanfall coming out in the next few weeks.
Yeah, it's going to be a massive month.
And we've got, Infamous.
Yep.
There's plenty coming.
Yep. It's going to be a huge, huge month, actually.
So I think on that note, we'll leave it there for today for episode 4 of our podcast. Thank you for joining us, and you can find us on www.weshunthesun.com. On Facebook, we are facebook.com/weshunthesun. Twitter, we're also /weshunthesun.
I don't think we even use Twitter, do we?
Oh, we do. I do.
Okay. Take it back. You can find us there.
And our YouTube is We Shine the Sun Official.
There you are.
There we are.
There are plenty of unofficial ones out there, so don't go for them.
And as much as Dave doesn't know, the Twitter is used.
The Twitter is apparently used, so, you know, feel free to use it.
All right, see you soon.